House File 1870 will come to order.
If he comes.
Welcome, and I believe everyone should have a copy of the conference committee report in front of them. And I would like either Lisa and or Anne Marie, if you want to go through the report. One or both of you, tag team.
Madam Chair, members, this is the conference committee report for House File 1870. Section 1 in the report is a section that appeared in both the House and the Senate. It excludes from the definition of provisional license the two-year limited-term license that the Minnesota Board of Teaching issues to persons enrolled in an alternative teacher preparation program. This section is effective immediately.
And Madam Chair, members, Section 2 is language that helped clarify a Senate position where probationary teachers were included in the unrequested leave of absence list. So we clarify that they are still maybe renewed, their contract may be renewed, may or may not be renewed, to say, as the school board shall see fit, or consistent with the unrequested leave of absence plan.
Madam Chair, members, Section 3 has language from both the House and the Senate bill. Paragraph A requires the school board and the exclusive representative of the teachers to negotiate a plan basing unrequested leave of absence decisions on teachers' subject matter licensure fields, the outcomes of prescribed teacher evaluations from least to most effective and from least to greatest seniority within each of those effectiveness categories. It makes the statutory unrequested leave of absence apply if a plan is not successfully negotiated. Paragraph B declares that for purposes of placing a teacher on unrequested leave of absence or recalling a teacher from unrequested leave of absence, a school board is not required to reassign a teacher to accommodate seniority claims of a less senior teacher. It also defines a teacher holding a provisional license as a teacher who receives a waiver or variance from the Board of Teaching to teach. Paragraph C declares that a teacher's effectiveness category and the underlying data generated as part of the teacher evaluation process to be private data on individuals. Paragraph D allows a school board to make teachers' effectiveness categories accessible to the exclusive representative of the teachers for purposes of verifying the order of teachers' unrequested leave of absence. And paragraph E prohibits a school board from making or using teachers' remuneration to make unrequested leave of absence or discharge decisions. This section is effective immediately and applicable to all plans negotiated or agreed to after that date.
Then, Madam Chair, members, Section 4 is the unrequested leave of absence subdivision. There are various paragraphs, but then where there's a lot of new language in paragraph E, allows the or prohibits or doesn't require the school district to or school board to reassign teachers just to accommodate the seniority claims of another teacher. Then in paragraph K, this is the right of reinstatement after being put on unrequested leave of absence. Paragraph N is then the unrequested leave provisions with based on subject matter licensure, evaluation or effectiveness, and then seniority that begin in 2016-2017. Paragraph O has the statement about a provisional license to teach issued by the Board of Teaching under a waiver or variance. Then subdivision P is the data privacy and talking about the underlying data for the teacher effectiveness category.
Madam Chair, members, Section 5 in the conference committee report is language that appeared in the House bill. It makes teacher evaluation data available to individual teachers upon request.
And then, Madam Chair, members, Section 6 is again related to what was a Senate provision about the probationary teachers. This is then for teachers in districts that are in cities of the first class. So that then allows for the probationary teachers to be renewed or to be continued as the board sees fit or consistent with the service termination plan.
Madam Chair, members, Section 7 in the Conference Committee report for House File 1870 applies also to teachers in first-class city school districts. It contains the main substance of the change in this proposal. It says that beginning in the 2016-2017 school year and later, a school board must discharge or demote a teacher based on teacher's subject matter, licensure fields, the outcomes of prescribed teacher evaluations from least to most effective and least to greatest seniority within each effectiveness measure. It prohibits using teachers' remuneration to make discharge or demotion decisions. It requires a school board to publish the discharge and demotion plan that it implements under this provision. Paragraph B declares that a teacher's effectiveness category and the underlying data that is generated as part of the evaluation process to be private data on individuals. Paragraph C allows a school board to make teachers' effectiveness categories accessible to the exclusive representative of the teachers in order to verify the order of discharge or demotion. Just like the parallel language applying to teachers generally, this section is effective immediately and applies to all negotiated plans agreed to after that date.
Then, Madam Chair and members, Section 8 is, again, another section related to school districts and cities first class. The language there that's new is statement in paragraph C that says that nothing in subdivision requires a school board to reassign a teacher to accommodate another teacher's seniority claims, and also that there's that a parallel definition for what a provisional license is.
Madam Chair, members, Section 9 is, again, a repetition of a provision that also applies to teachers generally. This applies to teachers in first-class city school districts. It makes teacher evaluation data available to the individual teacher upon request.
And then, Madam Chair, members, Section 10 deals with districts consolidate, and that the provisions apply only if they're consistent with the requirements for the unrequested leave of absence plan that's based on subject matter licensure, effectiveness, and seniority.
Thank you. Any comments from any of the members? Any final comments, questions?
Madam Chair, we've got a House conferee on the way, and I'd like it if we could just wait until he gets here. I'm told he'll be here very shortly.
Can we check on Senator Daley?
Okay.
Can we send somebody up there? Is he on?
Well, there might be testifiers who want to come forward, too.
What's that?
I don't know. Like, it's Lee Anderson on the speakers. She's like, no.
I don't know. That's, do you want me to take any testimony of it or not?
Some people need to offer support, so if we have that, you could open that up to all the windows.
While we're waiting?
Just telling them.
While we're waiting?
Because they weren't either. Either the house or the bills.
Okay.
Started to pay back the DFL. Two-tenths of a percent.
Representative Mariani, we've been waiting for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Daley, if he's available.
As luck would have it, we would have a Garofalo bill up at the same time that, that we're scheduled for this. Mr. Chair, I did speak with the chair earlier today. I do have an amendment I'd like to offer. And can we have us distribute it?
Ms. Mariani, while that's being passed out, you want to explain the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. And to the chair people, I understand that the conversation with the governor didn't get us very far, and I think that's unfortunate. However, I feel compelled to be able to offer something on the table, and so this amendment is works off of language that Representative Kath had been working on through the course of the year. And basically, it has several elements. The first element, of course, is to require negotiation of a plan in regards to requested leave of absence, and then references Subdivision 8 in the process of those negotiations. And, of course, that's the teacher evaluation language in statute. But, of course, because it's a negotiated, it doesn't prescribe, you know, attaching, you know, those provisions. It doesn't prescribe how to attach those provisions. It also then goes on to say that teacher seniority shall not be the sole basis for a board to make ULA decisions. And then finally, the effective date pushes it out to 2017-18. So, members, I offer this in good faith. You know, under other circumstances, perhaps it might be offered with a governor saying I might be willing to sign off on this. I don't have any misunderstandings that he may or may not. But I feel at least for the sake of good public discourse, an awareness to be able to put on the table that there are more than one ways to skin a cat. And so this is one of the other ways. And perhaps skinning a cat might not be politically correct language nowadays.
Trapping a wolf.
There you go.
Any questions, comments from members? Representative Peterson?
And just so the audience knows, we are making copies of the amendment so that you can view the amendment as well. I've got some comments on the substance of the amendment, but my general disappointment with the amendment is really this amendment really represents a lost opportunity of sorts for this committee. And based on the governor's intention, his public statements made prior to even the conclusion of the conference committee was to veto the bill. And it's indicative of his position from the very outset, is that he never had an intention of sitting at the table and working with the caucuses of the legislature. Representative Mariani's amendment is really just another bipartisan overture to get to a conclusion on this issue. Is indicative that there is agreement amongst the DFL and the Republicans in both houses that this needs to change. And so I view the amendment, again, as just another lost opportunity to have a vigorous discussion about this archaic law that we have in place that's totally detached from the core objective of education. What I will say to the members is I would urge a no vote on the amendment for a couple of reasons. Number one being this amendment has not, I think it's a statement amendment. I think it's to make a public statement about an alternative proposal. Had this been a serious amendment, it would have been circulated among the the Senate conferees and the House conferees. It wasn't. This bill has never, in this form, has never been presented publicly or never has been shown to, as I understand it, shown to the key stakeholders prior to this moment. And I would say any serious vetting of this issue would have been done in a different manner. I appreciate the amendment. And more than that, I appreciate Representative Mariani's willingness to have an open mind and work in a bipartisan way to address this issue. And I think it's indicative of many other members in both houses, regardless of party.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mariani, it reminds me of when you and I worked on alternative licensure, and you would be the one to come forward with a compromise, and you'd say, we could do this or we could do that, and I remember thinking, well, we're just negotiating against ourselves. It's just you and me here, and we're giving, but really there wasn't at that time a commitment to, on behalf of leadership, to put something forward. And so I feel kind of the same about this, is that I would hate for us as a group to put forward something that we aren't satisfied with. And the parts in particular that I wouldn't be satisfied with is, well, it does say that seniority can't be the sole basis, which is a good first step. It doesn't lay out how important we think effectiveness is as the measure of which we decide who gets to be in front of our children. And so I think that's at the heart of everything. It really is first and foremost about effectiveness. And so because this is missing that, and it's missing the thing that I feel so strongly about, and that is making sure our best and brightest young and new teachers are also allowed the same opportunity to stay in the classroom and be in front of our students. So it's because of that, but again, I am very grateful and appreciative of our partnership working on education reform, and I know it's not easy.
Any other comments? Representative Mariani, are you moving the DE-8?
Madam Chair, I would move the DE-8 amendment, and I do offer it, Madam Chair, members, in good faith. We all know what we're dealing with. I mean, obviously, there's the House and the Senate, but there's also a third party as well. And, legislating is often involves a torturous path of trying to find the cracks in between three different entities. This really is an honest effort to find that space, whether it meets the full intents of any of the partners around the table. That's for each of us to decide, But I do want, on the record, to express that none of this is offered in any other spirit than an attempt to push something forward. And I think that even with this framework, you still have the opportunity to be able to push forward our best and brightest teachers, perhaps not in a way in which the chief authors of the bill are proposing to do, but certainly not in an effort to avoid that at all. And so, members, I would move the DE-8 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. I just wanted to make a comment before I call on the others. I look at this, and I guess maybe kind of to jump on what Representative Peterson said as well, to me this looks like kind of a subtle admittance of what we have now isn't working. And I think that's great that this says that. However, there's no presentation of something that might work. To not have seniority be the sole basis, okay, so what else do we use? Not quite wanting to hint at that we need to use an evaluation. So what other factors are there if it's not going to be on the sole basis of seniority? We're going to assume it still has to do with licensure. Well, then what's next? What are the other factors that would be considered? So this is admitting that seniority isn't the best way, but it's not giving us a solution as to what are some other ways that it could be dealt with. So I appreciate that. You know, there's an attempt to, like I said, to me, subtly say what we have isn't working. But it doesn't go so far as to say, well, here's how we can fix it. Representative Downey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Mariani, I know you well enough to know you're bringing this in good faith and in a legitimate attempt to make some kind of progress. But members, I'd suggest this is a very, very dangerous approach to take, because I think what we would be communicating to the public is that we have eliminated seniority as the sole basis on which unrequested leaves are managed. And yet that doesn't even tell any of the story. To walk out of here, pass this amendment, and communicate that we did something when we haven't really done anything, you know, it might be nice to walk out and wave the flag and say, gee, we just took down seniority as the sole determination for unrequested leaves, but members, we won't have done anything. I mean, this doesn't prescribe anything, as the chair just mentioned. There's no alternative solution. So not only do I think it's inadequate in terms of what I believe we all really feel should happen with teacher effectiveness, boy, to pass this and walk out of here and say we did something, I think would be false advertising.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With all due respect to Representative Mariani, I need to speak against the DE-8 amendment. I realize you weren't at the table with Senator Olson and me during special session, but the governor had a strong sense of urgency about needing and wanting teacher effectiveness. And that was so clear to me that, you know, we immediately found an instrument, crafted a bill that we could present to him and negotiate with the commissioner. But indeed, there was a strong sense of urgency. Now I realize now it was needed for the waiver, perhaps. But aside from that, I hope the governor was genuine about wanting effectiveness, in the classroom, because he repeatedly said to us around the table, I don't want bad teachers. I want the really good teachers in our classrooms. So I'm frustrated at this point that the governor is not willing to think about what he said, I think, in a respectful and very heartfelt way. A year ago when we were, or not even less than a year ago, when we were negotiating the teacher evaluation piece that was put in the final bill. So with that, members, I think we just need to continue to look at the file that we have before us that Senator Wolf and Representative Peterson have brought forth as the best instrument for changing the way we provide unrequested leave, discharge, or demotion for our teachers. And I speak because I believe the governor is committed to having the best and the brightest in our classrooms. And with that, we just can't backtrack.
Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I don't pretend to speak for the governor. I have negotiated and banged heads with all sorts of governors over the years, and they're a breed apart in my mind. I would say, however, and I do accept and respect the commitment that the speakers have made to the language before us, and so I don't want to challenge any of that. I do want to, again, though, reiterate that this amendment is not a do-nothing amendment. And so if anyone in the committee or in the audience, you know, thinks that, I hope I can dispel that. It does, in fact, require that a negotiation happen. It does require a negotiation happen consistent with Subdivision 8. So it clearly does a nod in the direction of the teacher evaluation framework that many here are willing to be much more prescriptive about in terms of its implication. But I don't want us to leave the room thinking that that there isn't anything here that wouldn't be different than what we currently have. And I guess the question before us is just how different and how prescriptive do we want to be? And so, again, with that, Madam Chair, I would ask for your support for the DE-8 amendment.
Okay, we need to start with the House on the DE-8 amendment. House members, those in favor of the amendment, respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Senate members, those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye. Those opposed?
No.
No.
The amendment does not pass.
I thought it was pretty close.
To the bill. Are there any additional comments? Otherwise, Representative Peterson, if you'd like to make any final comments, and then managers.
Yeah, I mean, I've expressed my disappointment with the governor's office, and throughout this process, I think the respective authors, myself and Senator Wolf alike, have worked tirelessly to reach out to the governor's office, to reach out to minority members of the legislature, and try to find common ground on this issue. And I think what we've found with the commissioner's testimony and the governor's public statements is that there was never an intention to find common ground on this issue. They frankly didn't participate at all. And despite what I believe were public statements from myself and Senator Wolf that stayed away from political jockeying, that stayed away from political statements of a partisan nature, the governor from day one has done nothing but question the intentions of the legislature, question our motives, suggest that this bill is nothing more than an election ploy. And, the governor, despite our overtures, was doing nothing to find common ground on this issue. His motivations, I will not make any statements as it relates to the governor's motivations. I'm expressing my frustration with this committee, and I just hope that somehow, some way, by the end of this session, the governor has a change of heart, and I'll leave it at that.
Representative Peterson, and my final comment, I think I don't want to reiterate anything I've said over the weeks. I do want to just comment on a comment of the governor's. The governor made the statement that this is anti-public education and anti-teacher, and that they feel like they're doing their best, but they get little credit or recognition. And I simply want to respond to that by saying that retaining teachers because they are effective is the best way to make teachers feel like they are getting credit and they are getting recognized. By telling them that they're being retained because of when they sign their contract, I understand why the governor would think that teachers feel demoralized. And so this is a step that is better for our students as well as better for our teachers. And with that, I move House File 1870.
I move that House File 1870, the conference committee report, be approved and adopted. I don't know what the correct language is.
Sure. House members, those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Senate members, those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House File 1870 passes. CCR HF 1870 passes. And with that, the conference committee is adjourned.